Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, the incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name, somebody shout hallelujah. Now, real quickly in the service, stand up real quick. Everybody stand up real quick. Come on, stand up real quick. Come on, stand up real quick. Everybody shout hallelujah. Woo, somebody go woo. All right, now you can sit back down. All right, I had you sitting a while. Just want to make sure that you didn't develop rigor mortis while you were sitting down. Okay. All right, look in the Bible with me, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 31. You can see by the overhead that we have on our projections, the authority and the power of God's Word. The authority and power of God's Word. Look with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 31. Just before I get in, another thing will be happening on the app too, as well as online. Going to have Bible and notes beside of the online broadcast that's coming up too. So anyway, a lot of things change. But Luke chapter 4, verse 31. As Jesus is really beginning his ministry, doing the things of God, just starting, Scripture says, verse 31, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. Notice, for the Jewish people, they are worshiping on the Sabbath day, which is Friday at 6 o'clock until Saturday at 6 o'clock. That was a Jewish Sabbath. That was the day that the church met and came together at that time. Now, after the crucifixion of Christ, we find Paul speaking to us in Acts chapter 17 and other places, telling us that on the first day of the week, which would be the day after the seventh or the Sabbath day of the week, and that's the day that we're worshiping on today. But when you see it, basically what you're seeing is they had a day of worship. It's very important that you have a day of worship, a day that is hallowed, a day that is set aside. Now, we worship God every single day of the week. Amen. And if we only come in and worship on Sunday morning, so to speak, and only open our Bible on Sunday morning, and only say a prayer on Sunday, you're in big trouble. Amen. We worship every day. But that being said, when coming together as a celebration service and a community and a fellowship of believers, that generally happens for us here in America, one day a week, and you know, come maybe other times for Bible studies, like on Wednesday night, whatever. But basically, one day a week that it happens, and Jesus is participating in that. And so as we follow Jesus, we want to follow Jesus in coming together as a body of Christ. Somebody say amen. Absolutely. Come together as a body of Christ. Jesus is our example, and that's what he did, and he is teaching here on this Sabbath day. Verse 32, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word. Everybody say word. His word was with power, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. I mean, those devils can holler and scream real loud. They like to make noise. They make noise all over the TV now, don't they? Make noise all over the internet, don't they? I mean, you know, a lot of things about when that's going on. They make all kind of noise out there. But how many knows God's louder than they ever dreamed of being? Absolutely. Verse 34, saying, let us alone. The devil said, let us alone. And you are seeing that. The devil says that in a variety of ways. Let us alone. I mean, you talked about that smartphone. Don't do it now. But talking about that smartphone and that kind of thing next week, punch in a few things about churches and attendance. And see what happens when you go to Canada, particularly, as well as some other countries, and some in some of the cities of America, and particularly Australia, where they simply are chasing you down, locking you up, and putting you in jail, not because you went to church, but they saw you clicked online about information about a church. You were just thinking about it. And so notice when the devils are crying out loud, saying, "Let us alone." That's what the world is saying right now. Let us alone. That's what the devil is saying. Let them alone. Don't meet as a church. Don't come together as a family of God. Don't you dare pray. Don't study the scriptures. Certainly don't witness or testify to anyone about the grace of God in your life. That's what the devil is saying. Real loud in our world today. He can't say it loud enough to shut us up. Somebody say amen. 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 The more obstacle he brings against us, the more we charge at him more than ever. All right. They said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know you and who you are, the Holy One of God." Now remember, this is not the person that is possessed with the devils. It's the unclean devil that's in the man. Devils are talking to him. Wow, man, I get devils write me letters, call me on the phone, and email me and text me and all kind of stuff, don't you? Devils are talking to him. Verse 35, what did Jesus do? He rebuked the devil. Don't make friends with the devil. Don't see if you can get on his good side. He ain't got one. He rebuked the devil. And he said, "Hold your peace, come out of him." And when the devil thrown him in the midst, notice the devil always pitches a little fit before he comes out. Somebody said, "Well, I just started praying regularly lately, and said, the devil tapped me." That's right. The devil pitches a little fit right before he gets ready to leave, right before he gets thrown out, right before he takes his flight. He pitches a little fit. And so the devil thrown him in their midst. He came out of him and hurt him not. Hurt him not. Made a big display and a big show, but hurt him not. Verse 13, verse 36. Now look at this. They see Jesus here as he is speaking a word. Verse 32, his word is with power. Jesus has a word of power. The devil stands up against Jesus and his word of power. And when that happens and that takes place, and Jesus rebukes the devil with his word of power, everybody else is amazed. That's a big difference I see in the world today. A lot of people don't have any confidence in faith or the word of God. They have no confidence in worship and prayer. They have no confidence in the Lord God Almighty. They look to everything the world can do to help them out. I mean, everything the world can provide for them, that's what they're looking for. They don't understand it when you talk about you are trusting God. How many is trusting God this morning? Say amen. They don't understand it when you say you're trusting God. To them, that's foreign language. It did not compute. They don't understand what you said. And so notice what is happening here as when he says that to them. They're amazed. They're amazed. They don't understand this. They spake among themselves and they said, "What word is this?" In other words, we're hearing something now we ain't normally been hearing on the Sabbath day in our churches, in our synagogues, in our temple. We are hearing something now we don't normally hear. We don't hear this. What kind of word is this? Notice how they characterize the word. "For with authority and power," authority and power, "he commanded the unclean spirits with an S, and they," plural, "came out." Notice it. With authority and power, he commanded. What is a command? Well, that's a word. That's a word. A command isn't that he took out a whip and beat them out of the devil. I've seen some people, you read news accounts over the years, people try doing things like that, trying to drown the devil out of somebody, trying to beat the devil out of somebody, whip the devil out of somebody. I met a man in an asylum one time in Anderson, South Carolina. And he was there with 200 slash marks on both of his arms. I said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "I was trying to get the devil out of me." I said, "That ain't going to do it. Spilling your blood won't get the devil out of you, but the blood of Jesus Christ will drive him out." It will. It will. And so what happens is Jesus, with authority and power, commanded the unclean spirits. Now, notice it just didn't say Jesus did it. That'd be all right. I'm comfortable with that. That's okay. But that's not what it said here. Jesus with something. Authority and power. If I know that's what he's got, authority and power, to do what he did, I sort of believe that if you and I get the same thing, we can also do what he did. Because that's what he did it with. Authority and power of God's word, our topic. Now notice when it said the word authority, we get that word from the Greek word exousia, and it has to do with privilege. You know, I'm a privileged person. I got the authority. Freedom, mastery, a token of control, delegated liberty and power, the right to command. When we're thinking about authority, somebody gave you the right to command. You can do it. God had given him his authority through the power of the spoken word. He had it, but he had something else too. It wasn't just the right to do it. He also has a second word, power, which is the word dunamis, and it has to do with the ability, the miracle power and strength of God. It's the absolute strength to do it. You need both. If you don't have the strength to do it, the power to do it, the ability to do it, if you don't have that, you can run your mouth all day long, won't get nothing. Somebody say, amen. On the other hand, you can have the strength and the power that God has invested with you and be afraid to speak out through timidity and fear in your life and won't speak words of commanding faith and still get nothing. You have to have both. It's been said over the years that if you're just all word, you dry up. It's been said over the years if it's just all power, you blow up. So we don't want to dry up or blow up. We want to put them all together and grow up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Want to grow up. All right. So I see then what Jesus had. He's got this authority and power. It makes him different than everybody else. It makes him, when he's around people, they're amazed at him. Rather than the devil chasing him down, he's running the devil down and casting the devil out. Rather than people coming to him with needs in their life and still got those needs, he's driving at the devil and they are being set free. He's got something. He has something. Now, if you just stop right there and, well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but you know now, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. I know it was Jesus. I know Jesus was the Son of God. I know he's always been. I understand that. I recognize that. But what I also know is this, that the Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus himself, he laid down that part of him that was like God, set it aside and lived his life as a man that he might give his life for us, lived his life as a man with Acts 10:38 telling us how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. While he was on this earth, Jesus lived his life like you and I would under the anointing of God. Somebody said, can prove that? Absolutely. Acts 10:38 said how that God anointed him. If Jesus already had everything he needed on earth now, as a man. If he already had everything he needed on earth, then he didn't need anointing from God. But God did anoint him. He clothed him with his power. He clothed him with his divine unction. God clothed him with gifts of the Spirit. All the kind of things that we see in Scripture taking place in Jesus' life. And so when you look at Jesus, the Bible says in Peter that he is our example. And we're to follow him. And he came and he lived this life as a man would live his life on planet earth, facing all the temptations, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, but was without sin. And he went through every bit of it under the anointing and power of God. So I got to recognize in my life, if I'm just honest with the Scriptures, and I am, that Jesus did what he did, not because he was the Son of God, but because he was God's Son, empowered by God to do what he did, and those things that he did involved using the authority and the power of the Word of God. Everybody say authority,
authority.
Power. Power and authority. All right. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul, as he sort of begins preaching this great doctrinal book, the book of Romans, to his world of that day. Let me get back where I need to be. Romans 1 and 16. Scripture says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. How many is not ashamed of the gospel? Say amen.
Amen.
You stick to that because you're going to be tested on that. If you hadn't already, you're going to be tested on it. Whether you're ashamed of the gospel or not, you will be tested. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, what is it? The gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the word of Christ, for it, the good news, the word, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, Greek word dunamis, it is the power of God. Now, what some people have done, they have separated God from his power. They have thought about God as being almighty and all-powerful and these kind of things, but the word's just a book about God, I guess, or a book tells a little story, and it is about God. It does tell a story, but so much more than that. They don't look at the word of God as it being powerful in their lives. And whenever you talk to them about quoting the scripture or standing on the word of God or standing on the promises of the song that we sing and believing the word of God, to them, you know, well, you know, yeah, we'll do all that on Sunday morning, or we'll do all that when we sing the song. But other than that, we're going to live like the rest of the world lives. And you know what you get when you do when you get that? You know what you get? You get what the rest of the world's got. That's what you get. You don't get anything more. You get what they've got. And so if you want to live this kind of supernatural life that Jesus was living, in order of God, then you've got to step out of that, of your shamefulness and your timidity of the things of this world, stand strong in the Word of God, because the Word of God, it is the power of God. Amen. I mean, at the times, in my prayer life, and prayer, it should always be based on the Word of God. Yeah. I mean, it should be based on the Word of God. I continually, in my prayer life, walk with my Bible in my hand. I pray the scriptures. I pray the word of God. I have prayer cards, different ones I've written over the years, and I've got them together, and I'll hold them, and I'll be reading scripture and praying at the same time. Yeah. I know that this is my life. I know that this is my power. I know that more than anything else in my life, whatever it might be, whether it's sickness or whether it's disease or debt, poverty, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, this is my life. And it's here is the basis that I get anything from God. God loves me. I know he does. And I love him. But I don't get what I get from God just because he loves me. I get what I get from God because you and I act on his word and stand in faith in his word. And God naturally always fulfills his word. Amen. He always brings it to pass. So if you don't have a relationship with your Bible, if you don't have a, and maybe even it's in tablet form, not my preference. I use it for research and study. I love it for that. But I love my Bible. If you don't have a Bible you have absolutely fallen in love with, get your Bible and fall in love with it today. Amen. Just like I do in marriage counseling. Somebody say, well, we've lost love out of our marriage. What do we do? And I say, well, act like you're married. Act like you're in love. I say, anything else, or did y'all want to talk some more? Well, no, that's not enough. I said, yeah, that's enough. I mean, if you'll do that, we don't need to talk anymore about you being in love anymore. If you just act like you're in love, you'll finally be in love. Amen. Remember, golden text of counseling of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4. It talks about Cain and Abel. God told them, if you'll do right, you'll feel right. Amen. So if you want to be in love with the Bible, just start being in love with it. Carry it everywhere you go. Put it on the dash of your car. Put it in the seat right beside of you. Put it in your lunchbox. Put it next to you. Put it wherever it's at. Keep the Bible. I remember one of the first times that when I was working many, many years ago at St. Joe Paper Company, and I was sitting on this thing called something like a forklift, bigger than a forklift, but I was on it. And I remember during the day, I shouldn't have been doing it, but I remember during the day I had my New Testament out, and I was reading it like this, sitting there. And it was just humming, you know. Everything's caught up. Job's running smooth. Everything was fine. But I was looking, and then about that time, right behind me, the production manager come up behind me. And saw me back there reading about it. And I said, oh, hey, how you doing? He said, oh, no, keep on reading, keep on reading. I'm glad you're doing it. That's what he told me. I thought he was about to fire me, but he didn't. In fact, it was just a couple months after that when he called me to his office. Oh, he's going to get me now. He called into his office, and he said, look, I got a problem here with my son. I want you to pray for him. Let's me and you pray together. I know you're a Christian. Let's pray. And so then I got off, you know, I got paid to pray and got paid to read the Bible. So, you know, I really like that working there. But anyway, I'm not saying do your employer wrong. Not saying it at all. No, you give them an honest day's work for an honest day pay. Somebody say, amen. 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 But at the same time, it just irritated me so much that people could take a smoke break and I couldn't take a word break. They even had a little special place for them to smoke. Anybody's ever seen those in factories and plants? They had a special place. They didn't have a special place to read the Word of God, though. So I guess I made my own. But anyway, no, treat your employer right. Treat your employer right. All right. But it's the Word of God that's your life, and fall in love with it. Fall in love with the Word of God. It will change you. It will become this thing of authority and power in your life. If these things seem foreign to you, and if they seem like they are strange to you, and if you say, well, Pastor, I know, I mean, you're just saying, hey, turn, read this verse. I don't mean, I got a real problem right here. I got a real sickness in my body. I got something really, really, really going on. And you're just saying, fall in love with the Word of God and let the Word of God, I got real things. You don't understand. Oh, yeah, I understand. I've had some of those real things myself in my life. And I also understood this. I mean, hey, I've been to some folks to help you, and thank God for all the help that people give. Sometimes they're able to make your life a little bit better and do things for you. That's wonderful. That's good. I'm appreciative of every bit of that. But I've also found this, that I can go to the Word of God and not get a little bit of help, but I can get cured. Amen. I can get cured with the Word of God. Amen. Absolutely cured. Not just living a little bit better, but get cured from things from the Word of God. So it's the most powerful thing I know in my life. All right. Now, look in Isaiah chapter 55. Let me show you what we're doing. We're developing the power and authority of God's Word. The authority, the power of God's Word. It is the power of God. Everybody say, God's Word is His power. Well, by course, God's Word is my power. Not that it's coming from me, but His power has become mine because His Word has become mine. So God's Word is our power. Now, in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, one of the greatest passages of Scripture I've loved all my life, here's what the Bible says. Just immediately before it, Isaiah chapter 55, it talks about people who don't think right, and you know, you've heard it said before. In fact, let me just turn to Isaiah chapter 55, because people use this constantly. People use verses of Scripture all the time, and they'll say things that, you know, and leave themselves there and mess up their faith and mess up other people's faith, and they'll put it on church signs and billboards and all kind of stuff like that out in public and that kind of stuff, and just broadcast it to the world. But in Isaiah, long about 55, right? And verse 10 is where I want to be. But notice verse 6, the Scripture says, seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Notice verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. People quote that, well, you know, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. You know, it says that in the Bible. I mean, you know, it's mysterious things of God that He's doing. And they'll just say, you know, God's a lot higher than we are, and all this kind of stuff. I understand those things. But notice what he just said, verse 7, let the wicked man forsake his way. Who is the wicked man? The wicked man is the man whose thoughts are not God's thoughts. That's what it says. That's who the wicked man is. That's the wicked man. His thoughts are not God's thoughts. But now, right on the other hand, the righteous man is the man who has had his mind renewed, and he now has the mind of Christ, according to Paul. So come on out of the Old Testament and come into the New. And find out that you have the mind of Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay? Now then, if you're not born again, you don't know Jesus, yeah, that's you. You're the wicked man. But you got more to worry about than just your thoughts, if that's you. You got your eternal destiny to worry about, be concerned about. Amen. And notice that's where I'm using the word worry, because you don't use it on the other side. But on that side of the cross, the back side of the cross, but you hadn't made it over yet, yeah, you got big worries in your life. But now, so forsake those things. Now then, notice this. Notice this. It goes on down. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay. That's the wicked man. But, verse 10, for as the rain comes down, look at this principle. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, King James says thither, but returns not there, but it waters the earth. When the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it waters the earth. Notice it. I'm thinking of a rainy night in Georgia right now. It comes down, raining all over the world, as he says. Raining everywhere. Snow from heaven. It does not return there, but it waters the earth. It's good to have the rain because it waters the earth. But it does something else to the earth. It just doesn't make it wet. There's a force and a power in the water of the rain that hits the earth. It makes it bring forth and bud. Amen. The earth has no choice. Amen. When the rain hits it, it makes it do it. The earth might say, oh, I'm not going to bear any kind, you know, any life, any vegetation. Let the rain hit it and see what it says then. What happens in the summertime when our yards and lawns dry up? Well, we hadn't been getting enough rain. Right? That's what we'll say. That thing turned all gray and color and dark. And we hadn't getting enough rain. But when the rain comes back, what happens? Got to cut your grass more, don't you? Then you normally, what did you do? It made it bring forth. You know that works. That's the way it is in the life that we live here on planet Earth. We know that we're, it makes it. I want you to know that, see that. It makes it do it. The earth don't have a choice. The water makes it do it. The power is in the water. It is a water maker, if you want to think. The water makes things happen. What happens then? When it waters the earth and makes the earth bring forth, then you get seed to sow and bread to eat. Then what happened? When the water comes down, and what happens now? Notice it. The water hits the earth, it makes it bring forth in bud, and then from the earth producing, you get seed to sow. You get bread to eat. You get two blessings. You get the blessings to eat the bread that the earth produced. You also get the blessings of having seed in your hand to sow it, and then also for that sowing to work in your life and give you a harvest. So you got to do those two things in life with everything you get. Not just money, but including money, of course. Do those two things with everything in your life. Everything. Let everything happen like that. I mean, my wife and I, we have a loving relationship in our marriage and in our home. We're like boyfriend and girlfriend, but we're married. And so in our home, we enjoy that kind of relationship. And so, but some of that relationship for the work right has got to be me, say it this way, sowing toward her. Love, kindness, goodness, affection, smiles, jokes, you know, all kind of things that we do. I got to sow some things toward her. But it's not only that. She's going to have to sow back some to me, and I'm going to eat some of that she sows back toward me. Right? It's love on a two-way street. But anyway, it's on a two-way street, and it works both ways. Love is going there. Lost it on a lonely highway. Anybody remember that? But anyway, stay off the lonely highway. And so that works both ways. That's the same way. With everything you get, eat some of it, enjoy it. Amen. But don't eat it all. Amen. Don't enjoy it all. Take some of it and plant it for seed for your next harvest. Yeah. Oh my. If you can put that one principle into effect in your life and all kind of things in your life. I mean, you know, it's good to sit down and have you a nice meal. It's good to sit down for your body's health and strength to eat something that you like and enjoy that kind of stuff. But don't only do that. Don't only do that. Discipline your body in such a way that you're sowing seed into the health of your body. Both of those things have to apply. Do it financially. With any kind of income that comes in your life, take some of it. Enjoy it. Buy you something. Do something with it. Whatever you want to do with it. It's yours. Have at it. But don't do it with all of it. Take some of it and sow it into your life and into the kingdom of God. Amen. So that you'll get a harvest. Oh man, that will change your life. If I wasn't doing that, what I would do in my life, I would get Isaiah 55, verse 10. It says, for the snow comes down and rain from heaven, waters the earth, makes it come forth and bud, and bring forth so that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I would just keep saying it, keep believing it, keep reading it, and keep meditating until my life, I find myself already starting to do that. Amen. And you do that, it will make change in your life. Don't do it and nothing will change. But if you do, it will. Verse 11, so shall the word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Just like in the natural, water makes the earth bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Like that happens in the natural, the word is just like that. Yes, it's not religion. Yes. It is not just a little creed that sounds good or a little placard that you draw or paint and stick on the refrigerator magnetically. It's not just that. That's good to all those things. I do them. But it's not just that. So shall my word be. The word is like that. You mean to tell me, God, that if I take this word right here, that I can sow it and I can get a harvest and I can eat some of it and enjoy it. And Lord God, this word's going to make things happen in my life. Yeah, that's what he said. Verse 11. So shall my word be. Oh, I found a secret to success. Right? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not. Will it work? It shall not return unto me void. Amen. it won't return without doing what God sent it to do. In fact, it makes it clear. It will accomplish that which I please. It will do exactly what God said it will do. Nothing less, nothing more. It will do what God said it would do. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. It'll prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You can take a healing scripture, and you can read that healing scripture about your physical body, receive physical healing as you plant that seed in your life. It ain't going to do a whole lot for your finances. Unless it gives you strength and ability, and now you can go to work. Amen. Then right on the other hand, you can take a financial scripture, and you can believe it, sow it into your life, and it'll do a world of good for your finances. Ain't going to do a whole lot for the healing of your body. Amen. Unless you can buy somebody to come by and give you a massage every day or something. I don't know what you need, but anyway, whatever the case might be. But notice, in the thing whereunto I sent it. The Bible says the same thing, Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Whatsoever man soweth, whatever he sows, that shall he also reap. That's how come you can find some people that sometimes wonderful Christian spirits about them, good people. But in the blessings of God flowing in their life, you don't see many. Now you see the greatest one of all, the joy of their salvation. Thank God for that. Absolutely, and that's the most important one for sure. But other things, in hurting in their body and in need physically and financially in need and other things going on in their life and circumstances that are there against them, that seed works and it brings forth in that area that it's sown in. And so if you need something in your life such as physical healing, go into the scriptures and just collect all the verses that you can find on healing. Yes. Or go on the internet. Go there and you'll find a lot of things there for sure. Be careful what you look for, but certainly go there or get some of the cards I've got here at church. I've got a whole card just on healing. And I don't know, about 40-something scriptures just on healing. And read those things and apply them to your heart and just put them there continually according to Proverbs chapter 4 and to bring life to your flesh as you do and you put it in, it'll change you. It'll change you. Amen. You can do the same thing financially, it'll change you. It can become your authority, it can become your power just like it was Jesus. Notice it though. So shall my word be. The word's like the natural. It goes forth out of my mouth. It won't return void. It would accomplish that which I please, and to prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. God works in the thing whereunto he sent his word. And so then, what do we do? How do I apply that? How do you apply that? We take the word of God. We find out what the word of God says about us. We can look many places in Isaiah. We can look at 2 Peter. We can see where the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And you can look at your body, and you say, body says, no, I'm not healed either. Then I look at the word, and where it says, by his stripes I was healed. Body said, you better read that again. I said, I did, and it still says the same thing. And the big question is going to be, is what are you going to be? You going to be like the crowd that stands by amazed and says, hey, we never heard like this before. Or are you going to be like Jesus, you were my example, who speaks commanding words of faith and speaks the word with authority and power? When I'm going to say, Bible says by stripes I'm healed. Body says, well, I hurt you worse. Give it a shot because it's not going to work. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. You are healed in the name of Jesus' body. And remember as I shared with you just several weeks ago, in reading the life story of a number of ministers of the gospel, I read this. I've got four books still laying up on my desk at my home today that I had Morris Sorello, I had Kenneth Hagin, I had Dr. Fred Price, and I had Oral Roberts, different stories that they had done of their lives and things like that, and they're on my desk. And every one of them said the same thing about this. And in fact, it was said like this. Brother Ken Hagin said it like this. That what we think about of the mass crusade of healings, don't get mad, but the mass crusade of healings was mostly for baby Christians. They want to see something or feel something before I know I got something. But for the child of God, if you've been saved any length of time and you've been following Jesus any length of time, we are required to live by our faith and acting on the Word of God. And it was a strange thing. I read the life story of Oral Roberts, what he was doing. He had tuberculosis when he was 17. He got healed. But then he said after he got healed, he experienced pain in the same place, same thing. Seemed like it was coming back, he said. But what did he do then? The tent meeting he went to where he got healed was over. What did he do then? Then he stood on the word of God and he spoke the word of God to his body. He said, no, sir, no, sir. Not having it back. Not taking it back. No, sir. Not in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we have to stand on that word of God today. That's the word of God that we are standing on. It does not return void. And so we take the word and we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is what you have said about me and my circumstance, my situation. I believe it in the name of the Lord. My mind says something different. Mind, you got to go. My history of my life says something different. History, we're rewriting you today. Something else in my life says something different. It's all got to bow its knee unto the authority of God's word. And somebody said, well, how long do you have to do that until I win? That's how long. Well, you say, I'll give it a try. No, you give it a try. You better go do something else. But if you're going to do it until you win and you just set your eyes like Jesus, like a flint toward Jerusalem, Paul the same way, doing what God told him to do. I mean, you know what? You might face an obstacle along the way like they did. But you know what? You'll end up and you'll finish your course of faith and victory that God's laid before you. You'll do it. You'll win this thing. You'll overcome. You do like the rest of the world does. You get what they got. Have what they have, live like they live, be in the mully jug like they... It's so amazing to see this world and how they're living their lives right now. As children of God, we don't have to live our lives with sickness and disease. We don't have to live our lives being down and out. We don't have to live our life being depressed and discouraged. Somebody say amen. We don't have to live our life with sin just eating us up all over. No, we can be free from every bit of it. Jesus Christ has made us free. He said that who the Son of God sets free is free indeed. If that's you, shout hallelujah in the house today. That's us. That's us. That's the way we are. All right. I mean, you know, I got a bunch of stuff. I didn't get anywhere near. But turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to give you this, and we're going to head toward the house in a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. There are a lot of things that will help you develop your authority and power that the Word of God brings you. Because just because it is yours and is available to you, just because the word is authoritative and powerful, well, it just ain't authoritative and powerful to everybody. Although it is. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God preached. We know from Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But in Hebrews 4, I think it's verse 2, it says the word of God preached did not profit them. They heard it. It was preached to them. But it didn't do them any good. And what happened was, Scripture said in Hebrews chapter 4, because it was not mixed with faith, not everybody, but in them that heard it. So the hearers have to mix it with faith. That's why you and I, when you're ministering someone, it's not just because you believe it. You got to get them to believe it. The hearers have to mix it with faith. And if you and I are a hearer, we have to mix faith and say, you know what? I am just going to believe that God's word will work for me. Amen. I am just going to believe that God does not lie, that he tells the truth, and if this is what he said it would be reality in my life, that's going to be the reality in my life. Now, life, you got to get changing right now, and you got to start changing in Jesus' name. Well then, to develop that kind of that faith and authority in life, to get it moving and rolling, you have to have some foundations in your life that you can go back to as bedrock issues in your life that you can understand that authority and the power. Here's one. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, everybody turn with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says this, knowing this first, everybody say first.
First.
Somebody said, why'd you go to that first? That's why I went to it first, because it said first. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. When you read the Bible, I know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was all penned by the hand of Moses. I understand that. I know Joshua was credited writing the book of Joshua. I know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John. I know Luke wrote the book of Acts. I understand that Paul wrote 14 books in the New Testament, and Peter wrote the books of Peter and 1 John and 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, and then the book of John that John the Apostle wrote. I mean, you know, we associate their names. I understand that. But when I read it, and that is a big problem in people's lives. A big problem, because in 3 John 2, the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Someone asked me in seminary one time, why do you believe in healing? I said, because 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you might be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. That's one reason I believe in healing. They said, well, that's not a good reason. I said, why not? They said, because all that was an introductory letter that John was writing to his beloved Gaius in the Lord, and that's it. I said, I know that was an introductory letter that John wrote to Gaius, the beloved. I understand every bit of that. But I also understand that 2 Timothy tells me this, all Scripture is inspired and is profitable from God. Amen. If you stay in the historic part of understanding of Scripture, there's some good foundations there that'll give you a good base, a solid center, so you don't get wacko and weird. But if you only stay there and never recognize that, hey, God wrote that to me. He might have wrote it to Gaius in the first place, but somebody included this Bible that I'm reading today. Amen. And that is inspired word of God. And Peter says it like this. Look what he says in 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first. You got to know this first. You won't develop nothing from the word of God if you don't know this. Know this first, that the prophecy of Scripture is not of any private, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It did not come from a single individual of his own mind and his own heart. It's not privatized unto that individual giving it to you. Isaiah, I love you, brother. Thank you for the great prophecies that you gave us. My, the opening of revelation and redemption of the Old Testament. Isaiah, it was wonderful. Thank God for it. And I love Isaiah for doing it. I respect him for doing it. But I don't think Isaiah knew all that. I think somebody told him. I think it was a Holy Ghost. How about you? Amen. Same with Jeremiah, same with Ezekiel, same with all the Old Testament. I thank God for all of them, but they weren't speaking out of their head or their own mind. It wasn't a private interpretation that they just got themselves. In fact, that word private in the Greek means pertaining to oneself or one's own self. His own. In other words, it did not come from his own interpretation. It wasn't his own. It might have been Isaiah, but it wasn't his. It wasn't his. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. They didn't just sit down and say, what will I prophesy today? If you was thinking that way, you sure wouldn't prophesy some of the things they prophesied. Because Israel had a lot of the prophets killed for what they said. You sure wouldn't come up with some of the stuff that they gave. It had to have been from God, and it was. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men. Righteous men, godly men, holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. So when I read the Bible from cover to cover, I thank God for the men that gave the input there, but that's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing God talking to Leon. I love all of you, no disrespect, but when I read this, it's him talking to me. This is my direct line to God Almighty. I got a revelation. He's the one that give it, and he is speaking it right to me. Everybody say, my Bible is God speaking to me. That's what it's got to be. If it ain't God speaking to you, you still just grafted up in religion. You playing some kind of holier than holy game, I guess you might call it, if you want to call it that. You into something that don't have any kind of effectiveness in your life. It's not going to do anything for you. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, you might as well just have the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and they don't even make that anymore. Might as well just have that thing. And you'll be like Sheila and I used to be. When we first got married, that was our internet. We went to the Sears Roebuck catalog. You know what we did? We did exactly what it said on the front of it. We wished. Everybody use that wish book? You did some wishing, didn't you? I wish I had this and wish I had that, but Lord, we ain't got no money, so I guess we won't get it. And we did a lot of wishing. This ain't no wish book. This is a reality book. This is a faith book. This is you can have it now book. It is an active book right now, but you got to believe that it is. And you got to believe that first off. First off. Notice what he said. Let me give it to you in today's English version. No prophetic message ever came just from human will. But people were under the control of the Holy Spirit as they spoke the messages that came from God. Amen. That's what you see. You see, I don't know, whatever you picture Isaiah when he's receiving revelation. I grew up Pentecostal, so I pictured him having a little fit while he's doing it. And just hollering and screaming and throwing out them words of God. That's sort of what I'm thinking. But it don't matter if he had a fit or not. It was the word of God that's coming through him. And it was coming to you. And that's what you and I have got to see. But that's the first step. That's the first thing. You say, well, what's the second one? We ain't going to get to it today. We'll pick it up next week and come back together. Stand up with me in the house of God today. And let's be blessed in Jesus' name. Everybody online, we're glad that you're with us today. God bless you. If you're online with us, share the broadcast. Share the online with us and click share. Go over there. Different things you do. Glad that you joined us. Let's bow our heads and go before the Lord. Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we live in this world that so tries to captivate our five senses. This world tries to enter us through our ears and our eyes. All that we see, all that we hear. The other senses of our body, Lord God, just this flesh just seemed to be wide open to this world. I ask you, Lord God, let us now, Father God, begin to filter those things out, tamp those things down, cut those things off. And God, may we look into our heart, into our spirit for our relationship with you. God, that you will speak to us, Lord God, not as some kind of religious thing that is happening, but, Lord God, as life to our spirit. Let us truly in our hearts and our lives love you and love your word. Adore you and adore your word. And, Lord God, thirst and hunger for your word to fill our hearts and our lives, continually seeking you. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. In the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's make our confession this morning as we begin to end this morning. Lift your hands toward the Lord. Say, Dear Father, I thank you that in your word you said anyone that comes to you, you would not cast out. And Lord God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if in my life there are any sin, any rebellion, anything in me that is not like Jesus, take it away, wash me clean, and wash me whole. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all of my sins. Holy Spirit, fill my life to overflowing. Fill me so that you are manifest in my life, in my daily life, every day. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I receive your word into my life. I thank you it is bringing forth. In me this day, your word is producing a harvest. And so, Lord God, I agree with you. I agree with what you said about me. And I stand on it in the name of Jesus, by his authority and his power. I say, so be it. I say, amen and amen. God bless you this morning. God bless. Amen. God is good. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead, that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.